traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians of all breeds in all countries. This is Scott Miller, the founder of the International Equine Network. We're coming to you today live from Delray Beach, Florida. We're getting ready to open up the horse season here in Florida. And what I like about here in Delray Beach, where we're located at, we're close to Miami, we're close to Wellington, and close to Tampa and Ocala. So everything that we do on the International Equine Network is located around some of the best horses in the world. And they come here to winter in Florida and to get ready for the 2021 show horse, standardbred season, thoroughbred season, quarter horse season. It all happens here in South Florida. And so on today's show, we're going to just kind of start going through a few things here that are important to some of our different divisions. And we're going to start out with Flying Turns. Flying Turns is a weekly segment that we're going to be doing on the standard bred industry. And we'll do both domestic and international on Flying Turns. We'll go behind the scenes and we'll interview trainers and drivers and owners that make the business go. And fortunately for us here at Sunshine Meadows, we have some of the best trainers and owners in the world here. And we have them from all over the world. For example, we have a gentleman by the name of Tony Alagna, one of the best trainers in the world. This guy is just unbelievable in what he's turning out. He brings over 100 horses to us here at Sunshine Meadows in the wintertime to train. He breaks all his babies here, and then, you know, he goes from there. And one of the things that we were really proud of is that Tony had the Hamiltonian winner this year, Ramona Hill. And so that was good for our facility and good for Tony. And he had many others, but that was kind of the highlight of his year so far. And so today they have what they call the Little Brown Jug. It's a great race. It's been around for years. It's the 75th edition of the Little Brown Jug. It's presented by the Ohio Harness Association, and it's being held today, this afternoon, as a matter of fact. And so we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to see what we have from Sunshine Meadows that will be running this afternoon. And today, the first elimination, we have a fantastic group of horses. You know, it's just amazing what we have here today. In post one, we have See You at the Beach, Dexter Dunn, and Ron Burke, the trainer. Number two, post two, we have Chief Mate with Scott Zeron and Tony Alagna, which is Scott Zeron and Tony Alagna both went here at Sunshine Meadows in the wintertime. Like I said, Tony brings over 100 horses here to train. And then we have Later Dudes in post three with Dave Miller and Nancy Tactor as the trainer. Post four, we have Diamond Head, Austin Siegelman, and Eric Moeller is the trainer. Post five, we have Catch the Fire. That's with Mike Wilder and John Ackley. And then post six, we have Genius Man, Marcus Miller, and Irv Miller is the trainer on there. So that's a good feel that they're going to have today. We also have the seventh post will Tell the Lou with Scott Zeron and Jim Campbell as the trainer. So that's the first elimination. The second elimination comes up, and it's just as strong as the first elimination is. We have in post one, Major Betts, Dexter Dunn, and Mark Hardy. It said Post 1 there. Then Post 2, we have Captain Midnight, Dexter Dunn, Tony Alanya. Again, Tony Alanya here at Sunshine Meadows with us. We're excited. We hope he wins. Makes us look good, even though we don't do much, but provide a track and shelter for his horses. And then we have Warry Vital with Tim Tietrich and Robert Sellers. Some of these names might not be just cracked on, but I'm trying my best on here. Post 4, we have Money Man Hill, Brett Miller, and Carmine Asaluka. Sorry about that, Carmine. I know I messed it up, but we'll get it right when you win. Then we have in post number 5, Sand Bet We Enemy Notes. Man, I messed that one up big time with Scott Zeron and Jim Campbell. And so you can tell my inexperience here as an announcer or talking man. If we're out in the barn talking, I don't mess up. And then we have Captain Barbosa with Tony Amanya as the trainer. So that's two that he has in this race. We're proud of him. We have Cattle Wash with David Miller and Ron Burt. And the first four finishers of the eliminations returned for the $335,000 final. The Jug Day will feature 20 races and we'll go poultry starting at noon. So it's a big day for the harness people. When you go to the Little Brown Jug, it's an unbelievable show. And unfortunately this year, we're not going to have any people, you know, there, and that makes it tough. But they do have a great facility there. They have a big fair, county fair type thing during the races that day. The people can go and bring their lawn chairs and sit right up next to the fence, you know, watch the races. And then what they do that's unusual is they lock their chairs, like a bicycle lock, to the fence, and they leave them there for the year. And then next year when they come back, they have the chairs already there. They don't have to wait in line, you know, so that makes it interesting. The total amount of purse money for the Little Brown Jug today is $559,000. And that's real good money, and these horses really deserve to run for that type of money. And I think it should be a million. You know, I think they should boost that up to a million and make it good for the horsemen. But it's a good day for harness racing. You don't have to know anything at all about harness racing to watch the Little Brown Jug. The coverage they have through Harness Link and the Hamiltonian Society and U.S. Trotting and makes it just, you know, really good to go to and to watch and everything. And then on the heels of that, in Anderson, Indiana, we have the $1.2 million Grand Circuit Action starts at Hoosier Park. And it's going to be a fantastic day there on September 25th. It starts off a good season of the Grand Circuit. The purses are going to be distributed on the 25th, $1.2 million, as I said. It's one of the best cards that you'll ever see in live racing on Friday, with 15 race cards that includes the $150,000 Caesars Trotting Classic, the $221,000 Kentucky Anna Stallion Management Stakes, the $140,000 Hoosier Park Pacing Derby, the $120,000 Elevation Pace, and the $100,000 Jennings Beach Boy Pace. First post time will be at 6:30 p.m. And, you know, if you could go to TwinSpires.com to follow that on your computer, your television, you know, however you view your horse racing events, or you can go directly to our website and you see everything that's going on, you know, there. But it's Hoosier Park Racing at casino.com, and you can get all the information that you need to know and actually watch the watch the races off of their website, which is really good. And also, one of the things that we were talking about is Ron Burke. Ron Burke's got a 5-year-old daughter of Chapter 7. Henley Blueville Chip has won 3 of 7 outings, bankrolling $414,000 in purse earnings this season. And that's a tremendous amount of money, because when you see in harness racing, they race on a regular basis, more so than they do like thoroughbreds or quarter horses. But when you see a horse in the standardbred industry that's earned that kind of money, that's telling me that she's been running against competition that is at the top of the scale, because they're the one for the bigger purses and everything. And then we have a horse called Lindy the Great, last year's edition of the Caesars Trotting Classic, and we'll start from post 10 with a regular pilot, Andy Miller, in the bike. Trained by Julie Miller, Lindy the Great will look to become the first Caesars Trotting Classic winner to go back-to-back in the history of the race. And so that's always interesting to, you know, go and see and know that, you know, you might be see history in the making there, you know, if you're watching back-to-back winners. That's hard to do, you know, in the horse business, in any breed. The field for Friday's main event also includes 7 millionaires and 3 Indiana sire trotters. Again, you're looking at top quality, 7 horses that earned $1 million each, you know, that will be competing in that Friday night. So, you know, that's going to be kind of interesting to see that kind of money, you know, out on the track. And it's just the other thing that we were thinking about was not to be outdone by their counterparts. An accomplished field of 10 will line up for the $140,000 Hoosier Park Pacing Derby. It'll be held also that night. And after winning the 2020 Dan Patch Stakes, Century Pharaoh will return to Harris Hoosier Park and will play a role in the morning line favorite from post 8. Trained by Ian Moore, Century Pharaoh most recently finished 3rd in the Canadian Pacing Derby behind Darso Dua, Hanover, and Dancing Moo, who have drawn post 10 from and post 6, respectively, and they'll be in the Pacing Derby. And so it's going to be a great time. You go to their website, the Harris Hoosier Park, .com, and you can be able to watch that on the internet and see what they have. Then the other thing they have there that's always interesting is to involve the fans in something. That's always something good to do. And what they have Friday is that racing fans will have the opportunity to participate in 3 special wagers offered on the evenings of 14 race cars. The $25,000 guaranteed Superfecta will be available, and the $150,000 Caesars Trotting Classic slated as the 13th race on the card, and the $20,000 guaranteed Superfecta, and the $176,000 Hoosier Park Pacing Derby, the 12th race on the program, and then a $15,000 Hoosier High Five will also be offered on the last race of the program. Each wager is available through the competitive cooperative efforts of the United States Trotting Association, Hoosier Park and Casino, and the Indiana Standard Race Association. So there's a lot of things there if you go to their website, to Harris Hoosier Park Racing Casino. You can find all the things that they have available all the different, don't want to use the word gimmicks, but that's what they are, to make it a little more interesting, when you go in there. It's great when you go into one of these trifectas or bet fives that they have and, just literally play the numbers. It's relatively inexpensive, $2 bet. You pick four or five horses and you can end up running, $30,000 or $40,000. That's it at the Harris Hoosier Park and racing at the casino. And it's starting off the season with a bang, with a big bang. Now we're going to go to one of my favorites. And it just came up this morning, actually, is when it came up. We have a little thing on our website. It's called Chuck Wagon. And it's about cooking and things that you can do in an RV. And with the summer season rolling around now, we're taking a look at a lot of new RVs. And hopefully we will be in an RV by the end of the season. Got some good negotiations going on with Keystone Montana and about to promote their products at horse events. And the reason that Keystone Montana is interested in what we're doing here, it's not because of my talent as a radio host or my talents and anything else, but it's the whole concept of what we're doing here at International Equine Network. I went to Keystone, Montana, and I explained to them that we're going to be traveling the country in 2021 from different locations. We'll be going to horse shows. We'll be going to horse sales. We'll be going to horse racing. We'll be canvassing the country with the program. And that's why they were interested in what we're doing, because we go to not just one section or segment of the horse industry. We go to all horse people, whether it's the farms, whether it's the backyard horse show, whether it's the Olympics, the Kentucky Derby, or, the small, fairway center, somewhere in Ohio, that type of thing. So we get their product out, and the products that they have are in line with what the horsemen are spending. For housing when they go out. If you go out now to any region of the country and you want to stay a week or 3 or 4 days for a horse show, you're looking at staying at a hotel. And generally when you go to that area where there's an equestrian event, the hotel rates are usually raised a little bit during that that time of the horse event. And, you're looking at anywhere from $90, if you can find it for that, up to $150 a night. And so the Keystone Montana people have programs that they can get you into a good, reliable RV that will fit your needs. And they can go from one person up to 10 people. They have everything that you would want in them. Outdoor kitchen on toy haulers, you name it, they have it. You just call up the Keystone Montana people or go to our website, click onto their website, and you can build your own RV. And you can get them relatively quick. You can get them within 5 to 6 months of your order. And so you can just kind of cater to what you need, and where you need to go, whether it's an RV, tag-along, or a fifth wheel. The fifth wheels are perfect for the horsemen. They have the great cooking facilities inside. They have any and everything that you could possibly need, the large bathrooms, large bedrooms. They have, now they're all equipped with internet hookups. There's nothing that you can't do. You can literally have your own office, in your system when you can't all move in. And so, and the toy haulers. There's a lot of people that use the toy haulers to get around to the different events, so they can literally take their RVs or their ATVs with them, their golf carts with them, and put it right back in the toy hauler, and then you know, they got everything that they need in there. And then a lot of the people and trainers, they convert the toy hauler section into to their office, to their business office. And that is really nice, because a lot of the toy haulers there, they have a deck that folds out, and they can sit on the deck and have the office inside there. The tailgate drops down to a deck, and it really makes it convenient for the horse, you know, to have something like that. And the other good thing about it is it feels like home, you know, when you go there. You got washers and dryers, you got all the stoves and the microwaves, and, you know, you got everything that you can need, and just like you're at home. And that makes a big difference when you're out on the road traveling as much as you do. You know, you're not in and out of a hotel, and you're safe because you're in your own place, and it's really good. But one of the things that we were talking about this morning is what do you take when you go out like that? Where's the time of year now that we have to start planning our next year, the 2021 year? And it's something that horsemen, you just can't sit down and do, you know, all at once. You got to line up your feed. You got to line up, you know, your housing, which with the RV, you don't have to worry about it. You just get in and go, you know, within and having said that about being able to get in and go, when you go, we've got a checklist that we're putting up on the website, and things that you don't think about, you know, just naturally assume that you're going to have. But, you know, you're looking at plates and bowls. You're looking at silverware, cups and mugs. You know, you're looking at nesting bowls, cutting boards, you know, quality knife set, cooking utensils such as spoons, ladles, tongs, peelers, whisks. You know, the list goes on. And, you know, one of the things that I like is a collapsible colander, because it doesn't take up much space in your RV. And that's something that you have to think about when you're stocking the space that you have to use. So if you can get a collapsible colander, that's good. Measuring cups, spoons, pots, skillets, baking ware. One thing that I really like, and I use 3 or 4 times a week now as it is a slow cooker. A lot of the slow cooker recipes that we have on our website will be good. We have anywhere from a breakfast, a slow cooker breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we have gourmet meals. Even cooking the slow cooker. What's nice about that is that when you get up and go in the morning to feed early, to get ready for the show that day, if you got your slow cooker breakfast going, you know, you come back in, it's ready. All you got to do is eat, you know, and that saves you a lot of time. You know, when you do it, same thing at lunch and at dinner. You know, dinner's a little more relaxing because the show or the race is over for the day. And, you know, you can get out and, you know, just kind of sit back and relax over there. Then a lot of the condiments that, you know, you need to get, salt, pepper, you know, mustard, ketchup, whatever you like to, you know, stock in the refrigerator. And you got to remember that some of these RVs are kind of limited in space. Now, the ones that we're looking at to, for the Keystone Montana are the fifth wheels. And they have regular, you know, home refrigerators and size home refrigerators. And so, you know, you always have to take that in consideration when you're making up your list, you know, to do that. A nonstick spray, cooking spray, is always good to have. You can use that for a lot of things when you're, you know, cooking. Sometimes you might get a squeaky drawer or, you know, need a little lubricant, and you know, you can always resort to using that as a substitute. Then, you know, of course, you're looking at coffee and tea, you know, to have in there. And I always suggest the one-cup coffee makers, like the Crewhead Coffee, because you can get a variety of coffees and teas and hot chocolates, and you can make one at a time. And that's really nice because you don't make a half pot of coffee and fill it half out. So we always suggest that you go with the one cup because you can not only save on coffee, but you have quite a variety. And if you have any friends or any of your riders or trainers over, you can kind of cater to what they might like. So that's what you do. And then last but not least, dish towels, washcloths, sponges, and your soaps to clean all your utensils with. So that's one of the things that we're looking at on Chuck Wagon. We're going to have a great show season this year at Chuck Wagon. When we get to the different events, for example, like the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont, we will have shows that will coincide with, the cuisine of that area. Like Maryland, there's going to be a lot of Maryland crab cakes and fish, things of that nature. Kentucky will be, barbecue and chicken and all. Then when we get to Belmont, we get to the high-end things, such as New York style pizza. That's what everybody always seems to like, when they get up to Belmont. Of course, all the other things that they have in, of the New York area. Those are the kind of things that we're going to do. We're going to get our listeners to send us in recipes. We've already got the first five shows lined up that we will review next week. On what those first five Chuck Wagon shows will be, what the food and the recipes will be, and who the chefs will be for those recipes, and everything. So that'll be on next Thursday's show. Okay. So that's Chuck Wagon with us. Then next, we're going to go to I get excited about it because I'm a thoroughbred person. And we're getting now to where close to the Breeders' Cup. We got the Preakness next Saturday, which we will talk about on next Thursday's show. We're going to have Tim Cable on next week's show. Tim Cable is a blacksmith and entrepreneur in the horse industry. And one of the things that's unique about Tim is that he doesn't just handle just thoroughbreds or standardbred or show horses. He does it all. And that's very unique in the blacksmith business because usually the blacksmiths tend to stick to one breed and go from there. But Tim, he covers everything. Some of the best standard bred horses in the world that he shoes. And then he's got Olympic horses that he shoes. And so it's going to be interesting, to talk with him and to see what he's being a big entrepreneur in. We will reveal that next Thursday with Tim on that. But getting back to this time of year, like I said, often equestrians are planning their season for 2021. For example, in Equestria Equine Global, we're going to be going to the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, Florida. They have another one in Ohio, the World Equestrian Centers, both of them are just phenomenal. The one in Ocala is over 4,000 acres. Now, just imagine that, 4,000 acres of land for a horse venue. They have church services, they have hotels, restaurants, campgrounds, and state-of-the-art. I mean, literally state-of-the-art. They've got air-conditioned arenas, covered arenas. They got over 1,200 stalls there that are state-of-the-art barns that they have. And so that's going to be on our show next week on Quest for Equine Gold. We're going to take a look at that, see what they're doing and what they're getting ready for the 2021 season. And the amazing thing about that venue is they have another one, which was the original World Equestrian Center in Ohio. And it's just as impressive as the one is in Ocala. And the thing that I like about what they've done with the World Equestrian Center is that it's when the COVID is over and the public is allowed to come back to the facility, is that, you know, you don't have to be a horse person to go to the World Equestrian Center. You can go right up and you can watch the shows. They have shopping. They have RV camping, and RV camping is usually taken up by most of the horses. You know, but you might get lucky and be able to get a spot if you're an RV person to go there. But the restaurants are phenomenal. The hotels are phenomenal. Everything that's there, the shopping, the restaurants, the food, the event itself, it's just, you know, unbelievable. And like I said, you don't have to be a horseman to go to it. All you need to do is go to it. Okay? And that's what we're trying to get out on International Equine Network, is we're trying to be a distribution outlet for the horse industry to all breeds in all countries. And that's why if you call us, we can direct you in the right direction to where you need to go, you know, like we are with the World Equestrian Center. You know, you're close to Orlando and Disney World, and when you go down, if you don't want to spend the whole week, you know, at Disney World, you know, you can spend a day and run over to Ocala and take a look and see what's going on over there. Like I said, they have great lodging facilities, RV facilities, restaurants, and many and everything you can need, and that's in Ocala and in Ohio. So, you know, that's one of the things that we want to do. Here on Quest for Equine Gold, you'll see a lot of Olympic horses that in the World Equestrian Center in Ocala. You know, it's worth the effort to go see because we got the Olympics coming up in 2021 in Tokyo. And a lot of them will go there and spend, you know, this winter in Ocala, and they'll spend it here in South Florida at Wellington. That, and they'll do that. And the reason they're doing that and staying so long here with us is because our weather here in South Florida will be comparable heat-wise and humidity-wise to what they have in Tokyo next summer for the Olympics. So, you know, that will be interesting to see. But check it out. It's called the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, Florida. And it'll be worth a look at. But getting back on track here to this time of year, and all the trainers and all of us, you know, pointing toward their horses, toward their major events and world championships, we're looking at a show that we have. It's called Last Call. And what we do is we go all over the world, and we have different horse sales, equine sales. We're mainly thoroughbreds, because that's what we have the most of. But we do all breeds. But right now we're talking about the thoroughbred. And in Keeneland, this year, we have running from the 25th of this month, the Keeneland Urine Sales. And this is where the road to the Kentucky Derby starts. And part of our last call is a part of another show we have called How They Get There. It's a documentary. It will be out next April. It will be on national television. It's How Horses Get There. And if you go to our website, you can see that we have just a small blurb of how they get there. And you see how feed is made. You see what they do at the sales. You see the trainers, how they're deciding to get to the Kentucky Derby. You see the blacksmiths. You see Steve Norman shoeing horses and explaining. You know, you'll see the transportation. You'll see how horses fly and how they travel in ground transportation and air transport that they have there. And so that's called How They Get There. And it literally starts out with Last Call. And like I said, the yearling sale is in Lexington. It's been going on for over a week now. It goes through the 25th. And then the unique thing about this sale is there's over 4,000 horses that will be in the sale. And owners and trainers are looking at these yearlings, trying to find that special horse that will make, you know, Kentucky Derby run on there. And if you go to our website, you can see the sales at Kings. They're live today. They're going live right now. And they'll go live up to late in the evening. So they had over 4,000 horses in the sale. And so it's kind of interesting to see. You know, you can kind of guess and see what each horse is going to go for. When you see, like, that 484, and you look at it, you know, you don't, like I said, you don't have to be a horse person to look at it, but it's always fun to say, you know, tell your wife or your kids or your buddies, I think you go for 20,000, and the horse goes for 80,000, you know, or vice versa. So if you go to Last Call on their website, you know, you'll be able to see that live. And like I said, the owners and trainers right now are trying to select horses through bloodlines and confirmation that might get them a position in position to start training for the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, that all starts at the year, and it's a small part of what they do, you know, and how they get there. Well, one of the things that that they're doing right now is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is coming up here in another month. And that's for two-year-olds. It's the first real test that they have. It'll be just an amazing, amazing race coming up here in November, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And what they do is those trainers have gotten their horses that were yearlings last year in a position to start determining whether they could be a Kentucky Derby contender. And usually the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is one that has 10 to 12 serious horses, you know, that will be involved in the Derby picture in 2021. Now, having said that about this being one of the most important races for a two-year-old to go into, historically, the two-year-old winner of the Breeders' Cup has never done very well in this Kentucky Derby. They come out and they run a good two-year-old season. They run a good half of a three-year-old season. And then by the time they get to Churchill, you just can't find them. You just cannot find them. And, you know, we don't know if it's because of the rigorous trail that they go on, you know, to get to the Derby, you know, or just why. But, you know, it's a stepping stone. It eliminates a lot of horses and go from there with them. But that's coming up. That's coming up here next month. And just a few of the horses that we're looking at in there. The one I like is Spielberg. They paid $1 million for this run. He was runner-up in the Del Mar Futurity most recently. He's the son of Union Rides. He's bred to handle the route of ground. And we have not seen his best race as of yet. It's a Bob Baffert trained horse, you know, so you know that horse is going to be somewhere in the mix next year because he already is. You know, this is a good horse. Now we've got, we're talking about another horse called Sitting on Gold. Dale Romans is 2-for-2 following the score off of from off the pace and the Iroquois Grade 3 at Churchill Downs. He's the chestnut son of Brody's Cause. It looks like a fine prospect who will prep for the juvenile at Keeneland and the Breeders' Cup Futurity. So that's what he's doing with that horse. So now you can understand a little bit of how these horses get to the Derby. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. You know, and like I said, we're getting ready for the 2021 season. We had somewhat of a good year here at International Equine Network. We've done a lot of experimenting and a lot of, you know, what-ifs and how-tos, you know, to get the program going. And with our friends at BBS, you know, they made it our decisions a lot easier for us and getting us in the right direction, you know, what we're trying to do. And so slowly I'm figuring it out, putting together a team that's going to, you know, get us there and get me away from the microphone and get me back into the management end of it and going out as the, and as they say, they call me the governor here at here in South Florida. So that's where I do my best work, is out, you know, networking and getting with the people and creating these ideas and these programs in all of this. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do now. And having the experience that I have in the thoroughbred business, you know, I know what that journey is like. The journey to the Kentucky Derby is awesome. You know, it's a chance in a lifetime, and a lifetime of chances, as the song says, you know, with the Kentucky Derby. You know, and not everybody in the business is into it. They have 33,000 foals a year in the thoroughbred business, and, you know, you end up with 20 in the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, when you're looking at your odds and your chances, you know, they're just phenomenal if you get in there. And that's why, you know, I always say that, and I've been very blessed to be around Derby winners and be around the best trainers and the best farms in the world, you know, in my work that I've done over the years. But I've soon learned out, and Warner Jones from Hermitage Farm told me, he said, boy, he said, let me tell you something. He said, it's not the wins. He said, so don't get upset if you lose. And he said, don't get too excited when you win. He said, what you'll talk about the most is the journey that gets you there. And he said, on that journey that gets you there, he said, you will talk more about the people you met, the things that you did, the foods that you ate, the travels that you had to get there, the ups and downs, the good and bad. You know, it's the journey that gets you there. And so that's why I named the our Derby documentary, How They Get There. Because I want the audience to come around and see. And like I said, you don't have to be a horseman to watch this, because you're going to go behind the scenes and you're going to see how horses get shod. You're going to hear explanations of how they do it. You're going to see feed being mixed for Derby winners through our friends at Hallway Feed. Exactly, you know, why they mix the feed like they do. You know, how you feed your horse. They're going to explain everything there is to tell about it. The transportation needs of it. You're going to see how horses fly from Europe and from Asia here to the States to run in these big races. You're going to see how horses fly domestically. There's a lot of horses that will be raced five, six times a year, and they'll have three races in California, and they'll have you know, a couple on the East Coast, maybe one in Canada, and they all fly on airplanes. And you'll actually see horses being loaded onto the planes, into the boxes. You'll actually see horses riding, you know, in the horse mounts that are going up and down the road. You know, I'm sure most of our listeners have seen a horse man or two, you know, out on the interstate, you know, going up and down the road. So, you know, that's one of the things that you'll see. You'll go behind the scenes with the trainers, and you'll see the trainers, how they make a decision on to, you know, to go to the Kentucky Derby. You know, what races do they go to get there? You know, it's very complicated, and it's just not like, you know, you train the horse, put a saddle on it, and send it to the Derby. You know, you'll see that. You're going to see and talk with the owners. You know, about like they're doing today in Kingman. You know, the owners are the ultimate decision maker, because they're the ones that are writing out the checks, you know, to do what they need to get done, you know, to get to the Derby. But it's a group of people that go together that make that decision. And I've been in some stables that I've seen where the owner, you know, it's all the owner's way, you know, and that's it. Then I've been in other stables around where the owner consults with the trainer. The trainer consults with the exercise rider and the groom. You know, then they consult with the veterinarian. You know, and then they all kind of put their heads together and you know, they decide whether they go to the Derby or not. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, that they do. And so we're covering the whole area. You know, we'll talk to veterinarians, you know, like, you know, how are the veterinarians involved with the horses? And nowadays that's important because they're under the microscope. The veterinarians are now because of the situation, you know, with the drugs and steroids that are used in horses. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see from the veterinarian's view of, you know, how a horse is treated, you know, medically. All of them have, all the veterinarians I've ever seen have always had the horse interest in mind, the horse's health in mind. And so, you know, it becomes good. A lot of times the horse will get sick, and leading up to some of the races, the Derby prep races, and you got to be careful of how you how they're treated. You know, if they're coming up with a little cough or a little fever, the medications that you use on a horse, you know, you got to be careful because they could test positive for it. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into, you know, the veterinarian aspect of a horse. You want to make sure that the horses are healthy and that they're safe, and a good veterinarian will always have you in the right spot, you know, for it. And, you know, so that's what's good. And then we'll take a look at how they get there at the different venues. We'll take a look at, you know, the racetracks that you have to go to in order to, you know, get to Churchill. In fact, I'm watching Churchill Downs now live on IAMTV.org. And the young horses, 2-year-olds, will be there running. And because you like to get a race over Churchill before you actually get to the group. You know, that helps you. That helps you. And it makes it interesting to see, you know, how these decisions are made. We'll go to Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Take a look at the Arkansas Derby. How did they get to, you know, and did they use that as a stepping stone? And most of the tracks that we have now, like at Hot Springs at Oaklawn, you have like the Southwest, which is a prep race for the Arkansas Derby. You know, you have the prep races at each track, one or two that lead up to your big event. You know, we'll go to New Orleans to the fairgrounds and see, you know, how they get their horses ready. So we'll go to Santa Anita to see how they get their horses ready, which American Saddle and Bob Backlund's crew, you know, they're out there. And there's a lot of great prep races for them. You know, we'll go to New York. We'll go to Kentucky. To see how these prep races all set horses up for the Kentucky Derby. And you know, a lot of things that go into it is you'd like to build your horse up to the mile and a quarter for the Kentucky Derby. And not many tracks offer races for a mile or a mile and an eighth. You know, those are trainers' decisions that have to be made. You know, how do you get your horse ready? You know, what races do you run in? You know, and then you have to justify to your owners, you know, why you're running in it. That's probably the hardest sell of any trainer has to make, is the path that he covers and the journey that he's going to take to get to the Kentucky Derby. That's the toughest sell in the world because, you know, owners are pretty sharp. They're going to come back and they're going to, well, why this race, you know, why that race? You know, why do we have to fly to California, you know, to run? And we could stay here and run, you know, in New York for $250,000. Why are we going to take our time and go to, you know, California to race for $175,000? That's the hardest sell that a trainer has to do is talk to the owner, because you got to explain and you got to sell every move you make to that owner. That's on how they get there. And it's starting off this year. We'll have a How They Get There report every Thursday. on our program, starting with the Breeders' Cup. And then that's the first time, on the 6th and 7th of November, from the King. And every week from there, we'll have our How They Get Their report on At the Wire for the Kentucky Derby. And that's going to be fun to look at, fun to follow. You know, get you go to Caulfield's. Go to Caulfield's Variety Novelty Shop in Louisville, Kentucky, and you can get you a Derby, a 2021 Kentucky Derby leaderboard. And you can follow the horse, your favorite horses through, you know, through the Derby. And if you go to Churchill.com, they have a weekly update, and they have a weekly scheduled Derby prep races for 2021 that will be coming up. And it'll tell you what track it's at, you know, what time the race is. And it tells for, it also has it for Asia and Japan and Europe and the United States, all the prep races that they have. Because if you go to the Derby, you got to earn points. And you got to run in certain Derby prep races. And they're all, you know, like they're at Churchill.com. Now, right here before we get out of here, on At the Wire, we want to talk about the Tis the Law. Tis the Law is a great horse. He's come along a long way for Barkley Tag. He won the Belmont, which, you know, the, everything has been reversed around a little bit. He's a fantastic horse, you know, just unbelievable, you know, with what all he's done. You know, they were trying to figure out how do they get him to where they need to go. That, you know, he's just a phenomenal horse. And on September 5th, he didn't have a good Derby day. He ran second to Authenticate. And we don't know if it was the hard road that he had getting to the Derby. He certainly knew that the Derby would be you know, right there for him. He ran good in the Travers and everything, but he just come up a little short, you know, in the Derby. So they were trying to figure out whether they're getting ready for the Preakness or not and see what they could do with him. And I don't know if running second in the Derby was the thing that, you know, kind of set him back a little. I don't know what, you know, just what happened there. And, but it kind of changed their direction for him. And again, it, like we were saying, it goes back to everybody making, you know, the decision, you know, on running the horse. And for this time, we're looking at you know, the Breeders' Cup opposed to the Derby, which is important, the Preakness or the Breeders' Cup, from, you know, an owner standpoint. And I think what happened is that, you know, he's been running against some pretty doggone good horses that were climbing the ladder, that were getting better as a three-year-old. You know, by this time of the year, three-year-olds are usually mature enough to take whatever they get thrown in front of them. And it doesn't get easier, it gets tougher. And I think what happened here in this case is they sat down and they decided, well, you know, we're 4 weeks apart running the races that he ran in, you know, which was 4 weeks. Every 4 weeks he was running against some of the top horses in the country. And I think that now that they get close to the Breeders' Cup, you know, and the Preakness, they're looking at, well, you know, 4 weeks ago we ran the Kentucky Derby. You know, then 4 weeks later you run into the Preakness. Then 4 weeks later, you're running the Breeders' Cup. And I think that they made a wise decision by taking him out of the Preakness and slowly working him up to the Breeders' Cup. Because he'll be running the Breeders' Cup Classic, and it'll be against the three-year-olds and older horses. So, so that's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. There's some new players that will be going into the Preakness on the 30th of October. You know, this Max player is a nice horse. He's a honor code in our coat, and he's done very well. He talked to me that a short race like the Preakness in the track, I think, would be conducive to this horse. I think this is what this horse needs. I really do. He ran fifth in the Derby, and he was running out. But they had a lot of weather during the week, and you know, in a 20-horse starting gate. I'm not making any excuses for him, but I just think that this horse has got a real big shot at it. You know, he's a Steve Ashby's trained horse. I think he'll do all right with him. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see. if I had $2 for every time that I had been on an interesting horse, I'd have me a brand new truck right now. That's for sure. You know, that's just what I'm looking at. I like him. You know, he came out of a good barn. It was the Asmussen's barn. He was at this Linda Rice here for a while. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But that's Max Player going into the Preakness. And then the last thing that I want to talk about here is the integrity of the horse industry. We've had a lot of things in the news about the horse industry, and that haven't been good, but it's the checks and balances. We have the proper authorities. We have the proper people that are taking the time and the interest to figure out what's going on. Some of these investigations on some of the horsemen that have been in the news, you're looking at been going on for 3 or 4 years. But what they're doing is they're making sure that they have all the players that are involved. They're making sure that when they go to court and they take care of the people that are violating, you know, the horse industry regulations and rules, that when they go to court, they come out of there, they'll never go back and touch another horse again. And so, you know, my hat's off to all the states, you know, all the associations, and to all the people that are keeping an eye, you know, on our industry. And that goes for the show horse industry. That goes for the standard breds, the thoroughbreds. It goes for the quarter horse industry, all the show horse industry. Have rules and regulations that we stay on top of to make sure that the horse is well cared for, that the grooms and everybody involved with the horses are safe, you know, that everything's on the up and up, because eventually what it comes down to is the public. We have to put a good show on, a safe show, and you know, a legitimate show on for the public. And that's why here at the International Equine Network, we're doing all breeds all over the world. And that's why our journey starts right here with us every Thursday. And so we'd like for you to tune in, call in, and see what all, you know, the horse industry is about. You know, because the more people we get involved, the more people we educate, the better off our industry will be. And you can participate in the industry, maybe not as an owner or a jockey or a trainer or, you know, a rider or whatever, but you can participate in the industry as a fan. And that's our biggest asset to us in the horse industry is the fan. So we hope you join us next week for the International Equine Network. Tim Cable, blacksmith, and entrepreneur will be with us live next Thursday afternoon. And next Thursday, we will announce the winner of our year membership. We won our year membership to ship.com. Join us next Thursday at 1 o'clock for International Equine Network.